The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in a household will be divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but you do not know how to interpret the present time. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, here we are in the third week of August, and we are still on chapter 12 in Luke's Gospel. Yes, it has been a long chapter, but 3 weeks in a row in one chapter? Maybe some of the topics in this chapter are pretty important. On August 3rd, we heard the parable about the rich farmer, learning about the importance of keeping balance in our lives and being rich toward God and not just living for ourselves. Last week, Jesus told us to not be afraid or worry, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And now we turn this week's gospel, where Jesus says this, I come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do not think I have come to bring peace on the earth. No, I tell you, but rather division. Wow. That's pretty a lot, isn't it? Do we really hear Jesus correctly? Did he really just say he wants to bring fire upon the earth and division rather than peace? Well, the answer is yes. Our ears are not deceiving us. This is a very different message from Jesus and why he has come. We have heard throughout the Gospels other places where Jesus said why he has come, to seek and save the lost, to give life in the fullest, to bring light into the world, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. But here we hear he's bringing fire and division. It's hard for us maybe to hear this. In my study Bible that I have, the passage today that we have from Luke is entitled this, Jesus warns about coming division. Now, to our modern ears, this may sound like a pre-election warning. Yeah, okay, you got the joke. Yeah. Jesus is not talking about politics. He's not talking about this time. But what is he really talking about? This passage in Scripture has had the interpretations from preachers and theologians over the years, many different forms of interpretations. Everything from fire and brimstone, scorched earth policy, to just kind of ignoring Jesus because he's really having a bad day. Now, my views kind of come in the middle of those two extremes. So let's unpack what we're seeing Jesus say to us today. Keep in mind that the other reasons that Jesus has told us why he has come here to earth, I think should be a clue to maybe what he's talking about. In his first statement, he says, "I come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." What does he really mean by that? Well, remember that we are in Luke's gospel, and maybe you remember another book in the Bible that Luke authored. Anybody? Come on, my Bible study people. Acts, thank you. Thank you, Hunter. I claim Hunter. Hunter is in my Bible study, so thank you for knowing that it was Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. So what, okay, another question. What major event in Acts that deals with fire? Pentecost. See? You still need to come to Bible study, but Pentecost. Yes, Pentecost, where tongues of fire fell on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit of God. If we look at fire that Jesus wishes to bring on the earth, perhaps he is referring to his followers receiving the fire of the Holy Spirit rather than destroying the earth. This interpretation fits much more with the other reasons why Jesus came to earth. Jesus wishing out loud that his disciples would already have the knowledge of God given by the Holy Spirit. And that would fit the loving Jesus that we know. But let's continue in this passage. The next line Jesus says is, I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Now, we're in chapter 12 of Luke's gospel. Way back in chapter 3 of Luke's gospel, we heard that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. So what is Jesus referring to here? Well, Jesus is referring to the baptism of his crucifixion and his resurrection. Remember, Jesus is fully human, and he is feeling the pressure of where he is heading, and he is heading to the cross. Have you ever wanted to get something over with, something that was difficult to do? You just want to get it behind you. You just want to jump in there and get it done. I know I have. Just think about the stress you would be under if you knew that you were to die a very painful and horrible death in order to save everyone that you love. This is the burden Jesus must carry with him. And of course he is feeling stressed by this reality that he has. And then the icing on the cake is this. Jesus says, do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Then Jesus lists out all the family relationships that will be divided because of him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian and preacher, during World War II spoke in his very famous book, The Cost of Discipleship. In this book, Bonhoeffer reminds Christians that there will be a cost to following Jesus in our lives. Bonhoeffer states it this way: cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. But then Bonhoeffer compromises, he pairs that with what costly grace is. And this is what he says about costly grace. It is a hidden treasure in a field. For the sake, a man will go and sell all that he has. It is a pearl of great price to which the merchant sells all of his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ, whose sake a man will pluck out his eyes because it causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciples leaves his nets and follows him. Costly grace is a grace which must be sought again and again, the gift which we must ask for, the door at which a man must knock. For Bonhoeffer, there was a cost to being Jesus' disciple. And for him, during World War II, right at the end of it, it cost him his life. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples they must take up their cross and follow him. You see, my friends, following Jesus fully in our lives comes sometimes with a personal cost, a cost that will sometimes cause division, even division within families. Look at Jesus' inner circle of disciples. You remember James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee? Remember when they were first called by Jesus to become his disciples? Jesus called them while they were fishing with their father in a boat. And they basically left their father holding the net as they got out of the boat and joined Jesus. That must have hurt the family business. What do you think? Then we have Matthew, called by Jesus, who left a very lucrative tax-collecting position to become Jesus' disciple. Peter had a mother-in-law, but we never hear in Scripture that he had a wife or children, but I'm sure there was somebody left behind as Peter went off to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, today in our reading from Luke, Jesus is not only warning his disciples present in our reading, but all of us today. When we decide to follow Jesus with all our heart, to be his disciple, we could experience division and separation from our families because of our commitment to Jesus. In Jesus' time, many of his early followers were separated from their Jewish family because they believed Jesus was the Messiah of God, the Lord and Savior. Many in their families didn't believe that, and they would have disowned them. So families were divided because of Jesus. In our modern world, Christians are persecuted for their beliefs from family members and some from their governments. Even today in the United States, there is a cost of discipleship. Many of Jesus' views and teachings are countercultural from what we experience today. In following my own call to become a priest in the Episcopal Church, I had to face some initial division from my very devout Roman Catholic mother. She eventually came on board, but when I first told her I was going to seminary to become a priest, she's like, I don't think women are supposed to be priests. Well, she changed her mind, but it was tough at the initial. And many times throughout my ministry, I've had to choose time for my ministry over time with my children or other family members. Johnny always gives me a hard time. He says, this is my priority list in our family. Well, God first, okay, we got to do that. You know, I'm a priest. And then you all come in second, okay? You should be proud of that. And then there are my sons, okay? Our sons that live in Dallas. And then there's the dog. And at the bottom of the heap, my husband says he's at the bottom of the heap. That's not really true, but I'm sure he feels that way a lot. You see, Jesus is warning us today that there is a cost of discipleship. To be a true follower of Jesus, not everyone will agree with us. Some, especially in this growing secular world, will say, being a follower of Jesus is you're just illiterate, or you're weak-minded, or maybe you're just plain stupid. You'll hear that. Jesus may have been a bit cranky in his delivery and his message today, especially when he calls us hypocrites. What's up with that? Well, Jesus had a problem. You see, the people following Jesus in Jesus' time weren't getting the message of Jesus. They weren't seeing the signs correctly. Jesus was doing many signs and wonders in front of the miracles of God. He was healing people and casting out demons and turning water into wine. Many signs of who he has come from. And even with all those miracles and healing and teaching with authority, the people still didn't know who Jesus truly was and is. And time was running out. He's getting frustrated. He wants them to already have that fire of the Holy Spirit in them so they know God within them. He wants it to happen now. He wants it to be over with. But he has to wait. Maybe you're surprised or discouraged by what Jesus says about this division. But Jesus knew it would happen. He knew it would happen back in his time, and he knew it would continue to happen. And he warns those Jews listening to him in the first century, as well as he warns us today. This passage is a wake-up call, so to speak, not to be asleep on the job. As Christians, we should not be surprised by division. There is a cost to discipleship. Jesus knew that, and so Jesus uses some harsh language today to get our attention. Jesus does divide us sometimes, but he also cleanses and saves us, and that's our good news. The division we must live with to be a follower of Jesus may not always be easy, but it's one that we are asked to make. You see, the cost of discipleship may be hard sometimes, but it carries with it something that we will always have. It carries with it eternal rewards. So when we have this cost of discipleship, remember why we are here. Whose we are, who's our priority. And when we see division, don't be discouraged. We're always going to have division. Focus on our Savior, and the rewards will be eternal. Amen.